Gemara Shabbat, Daf Kuf Nun He, today's Daf is being studied in the Mishvot Avram ben Esther, Refua Shilema Shilomo, Eliezer ben Chaya Sara Elka, Vegam Refua Shilema Dina Batsara, and the Refan Lahem, for the Nefesh, for the Guf, for the Tamkur, for the Bobe Chenya, the Sumer Mar, Amen. We begin today's Daf at Kuf Nun Dal Ramud Bet, we have 12 lines from the bottom, and we are starting from an Etive. We learned on yesterday's Daf, that Rabbah taught us that there is no isur to use the side of an animal. That's called the tzadim. Rabbis made a isur on Shabbat and on Yom Tov that we're not allowed to use animals. So it's only talking about the top of the animal. A she'en ken, to lean against the side of the animal, that's okay. So that is the that was what the Gemara said, that tzadim is okay according to him. So Gemara has a question. Etibe. Question from Masechet Sukkah. Shetayim bide Adam. Two of the walls are regular walls of the Sukkah. V'ahad be'ilan. And one of the trees, one of the walls is a tree. He built the Sukkah in such a way where he made the tree a wall. Gemara says, Kishera. Kashet, it's kosher sukkah. However, in odin la b'yom tov, but you can't go up into the sukkah on yom tov. They say up because usually they used to build the sukkot on roofs, so you have to go up to the sukkah. Therefore, it's in odin la b'yom tov. Why can't you use it on yom tov? Because in the olden days, the custom was they used to store things on the schach. They used to put things on top of the sukkah. And since the schach is tied to the walls, so therefore when you're using the schach to put on your stuff, you're actually benefiting from the tree. Now my lab, now how do they make this tree a wall? The hak be ba'ilan, you made like holes into the tree itself, and you put like reeds coming out over there, and they serve as the reeds. The reeds serve as the wall. The avilut tzadim. You're not using the tree itself. You're using the tzadim of the tree. Something that's attached to the tree. That's like tzadim ilan. Using the item that's protruding from the tree. And what is it we see over here? Tzadim asurim. You see the tzadim is asurim? Because it tells you cannot go into the sukkah on Yom Tov. Look at that sheep. As he says, Shetayim bide adam v'had ba'ilam. Gabe sukkah tenam. It's by sukkah. Shekeshira begimel defanot. Sukkah is kosher with three walls, minimally. V'imasa shtayim kelchatam. V'ashilishi asar ba'ilan. Keshira. If you did two regular walls and one is a tree, it's keshira. Defanot lo chpat lanim mechubarotem. Second thing that she tells. We don't give the defanot are attached to the ground. Schach can't be attached to the ground. But the walls can be attached to the ground. V'uadim im kulan nikba'ot ba'ilan. Then she says, by the way, it would be kashir if you made a sukkah from four trees that are attached to the ground. The reason why I chose you two and one, that even if there's only one tree serving as the wall, you cannot go into that sukkah on Yom Tov, not to eat, not to drink, not to sleep. Because the schach is attached to the walls, v'nishan adeha, and it's leaning on the side of the tree. V'hu mishtamish al sechacha, and the guy uses the schach. V'noten kelav, he puts his kelim on the schach. V'nimsa mishtamish beilan, he's using it on Yom Tov and things like that. They store things on the sukkah. That's going to be a problem because you're being mishtamish beilan on Yom Tov. Then he just says, "Kol kinisa de sukkah nakit b'shon aliyah." Anytime the Mishnah and the Masechet Sukkah talks about going to the sukkah, he uses lashon aliyah, going up. Why? The fish shirubam osin sechot sukkotem b'rosh kagam. The majority of the people used to make the sukkot on top of the roofs. The mechama duktim tenan b'ache el matrachin oto la'alot. He gives you examples where it says la'alot. Fine. Amar lehem he'alum la'sukkah. Bring them up to the sukkah. Abba Muridu et HaKelim, will bring them down from the Sukkah, V'chen, Harbe. You made an indentation into the tree itself, and you put like walls against the tree. And you put the schach on top. Shuv alotan defanot. You're not using the tree itself. You're putting something against the tree. So therefore, you see why. And still, we're saying that it's a suit. So Yamara says, "La, no, that's not the case. Dekafye la ilan. You actually bent over the trees, where the tops of the trees are serving as the schach. The anach sikuch elave, and you put schach on these trees. The kamishamesh la ilan. You're actually using the tree itself." Till now we thought, no, they're just using the side of the tree. He says, no, they did it in the way we're using the actual tree itself. Rashi, the top leaves, hita letzad ilam. You bent them over. Letzad ilan acher, next to another tree next to it. Bechen shzeh lazeh, and the next tree next to the next tree. You tie the tops of the trees now if they were bent over to each other. Then asa dofen. Oh, so that's the case. So we have no proof to the case of tzadi. So Gemara says, now you tell me that using the tree itself, I'll bring you a question from the sefa of that Mishnah Sukkah. It says, shalosh bide adam. If you have three walls man made, the hat ilan, and one is a tree. Keshera, ve'olim la b'yom tov, and you can go into it on Yom Tov. Wait, ve'id dechafye la'ilan. If it's talking about where you bent the tree over and using the actual tree, amay olim la b'yom tov. Why should you be allowed to go out on Yom Tov? Bottom line, you're using a tree on Yom Tov. I don't care if it's 3 and 1 or 2 and 1; it's the same thing. Ve'ela amay. Oh, so what are you going to tell me? Sadin asurim. So you want to go back to your original assumption that it was talking about the sides of the tree. Same question. So, am I olin la b'yom tov? Why if it's 3 and 1, are you allowed to go on Yom Tov? Even if you want to tell me it's tadim. So if it's tadim, so still 3 and 1 shouldn't be permissible. For the same reason that if it's a regular tree, it shouldn't be permissible. If you tell me tadim is asurim, it should also be forbidden. And the Gemara says, hatam, the reason why you can go on Yom Tov is because Begevaza parsichna. We're talking about a tree. There's a lot of leaves that are spreading out to the sides. The ilan gufe dofen be'almahu deshavye. Which means you're using the tree for a wall on itself. And the schach is not leaning on the wall itself. So therefore you cannot call the schach from the tzadeh ilan, and therefore you can use it on Yom Tov, which means we're talking about a case over here. The sefa is not similar to the resha. The resha was talking about a case. The sefa is talking about a case where you didn't put the schach on the wall itself. It's a type of tree that there's stuff coming out of the sides, so therefore using the wall itself. The tree itself is a wall, but the schach is not resting upon it. The Rishah is talking about where you actually rested it against the wall of the sukkah, of the schach. I mean, the schach against the tree. And therefore, that's going to be considered steady. Daikanameh, we have a proof in the Lashon, Diktani, Zeaklal. At the end of that Mishnah, gives us a rule. Kol ilushina tila ilan. The rule is like this: if you would take away the tree, and the schach can stand on its own, and therefore that rule is defining the last case, because this, if you would take away the wall, the schach wouldn't fall. So the rule is any type of tree, if you take away the tree and the schach would still stand, so that explains the case that must be talking about where the schach was not actually touching. Look at Rashi now. When it says Elamai, I'm reading that sheet. Stadina suri, sof sof amay onin abiyom tov, el hatam, de gavza, Bar Sachna Shilan Gufer Dofin Ba'alma Shabi. They're using the tree as the wall. Gavzap Sachna Ilan Chanafan Harbe Yotzi Mistadim and Peshtim Lekan Lekan. The tree and the limbs are spreading out from side to side. Veshaminu Dofin Ba'alma Suka Beno Samach Haschach Alehen. You did not put the schach on it at all. Ulaachi Nakan Gavzap Sachna. So he chose this case. Veno Shavkei Kedekan Sekadrak Bedekafie. We don't want to give the case to them where you bent the tree over. Why don't you just say it simple? It's the same case, you bent the trees over, but you didn't put the schach. So he says, no. That fourth wall you don't even need for the sukkah. That begin like a shirah. You're not going to be toiling to bend a tree down on a wall that you don't even need. You don't need the fourth wall. So the Gemara is not going to give a case that people are not going to do. Why are you going to pain yourself to bend trees down, the pine because stop, you had a tree there. It was next to the fourth wall, so it was there. But you didn't put the skak on it. Exactly, the tree was there without any exertion. So therefore the Gemara is at this point coming along to say that you have no proof, could be over here, really, the Gemara tried to ask the Gabe the Stadin, but the Gemara says, you have no proof that Stadin are going to be Asur. I can say that the Resha is talking about where you made the Ischach from the tree itself, where you bent them over, that's why it's Asur. And the Sefer is talking about where the Ischach is not even resting on the tree, so you don't have a case of Stadin. Gemara says, Lema Kitanae. Now let's go back. We're going to say that maybe it's a machlokin amongst the Tanaim. Are you allowed to use the side of a tree and the side of an animal on Yom Tov or not? So it says, "En odin be Yom Tov." Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum Rabbi Meir odin be Yom Tov. Oh, that we have a machloket by a sukkah that you are resting it by a tree. One of the walls is a tree. And we have a machloket. Can you go into the sukkah on Yom Tov or not? What's the machloket? Must be the machloket over here is what? The mor savar stadin asudin, or mor savar mutarin. Must be the case of talking about we have a wall, a tree. And you put holes in there and you added a wall over here. And now you put the schach on top. So it's, you're not benefiting from the tree itself, but you're benefiting from stadin. And one rabbi says you can go into the sukkah, one rabbi says you can't. So you see stadin is actually machloket. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, no. Ichud alma stadim asurim. Everybody holds stadim is asurim. Also, what's the machloket over here? Ve'acha, b'tzidei stadim kamepalge. How do you look at this case? This might be called the side of the side, which means it's something that's attached to the tree, and now you're putting the schach on that item and you're putting something on the schach. So therefore the item that you attach to the tree, that's going to be called stadim. And then the schach that's touching the item that's attached to the tree is sidet stadim. So that's already a machloket. More savar sidet stadim asudim, or more savar sidet stadim utarim. Could be regular stadim. Everybody's going to say it's asud. And this machloket over here is only by sidet stadim. Rashi, ma'ila ba'akem epalgeh. Ugon dechag be'ilan. You chiseled in the tree itself. Or motiv kanim be'stadim. And you put some reed standing there on the sides, the sikich alem, and you put schach on them. The happy them mishtamesh b'stadim ki mishtamesh ayinis schachah. When you use the schach, you're going to be benefiting from the stadim. The ilo behapelik mimaymuk mipluta da kula amas somebody asul mishtamesh beiran. So Amar Rabbeye, Rabbeye says no. Inami be'achi pelik yilek alamad esvira de stadim utarim. The harid lav stadim inu la sidet stadim. Why does this sidet stadim? So she explains shakanim anetunim benekanim stadim. The reeds that you're putting against the tree, those are called stadim. But sikucha natun algam sidet stadim, and the skak is called, it's once removed. And then the ma'od is on that. Rava says no. Rava amar man de asar b'stadim asar nami b'sidet stadim. Man de shari b'sidet stadim shari nami b'stadim. Think a little, no. The one that says Sidadin is Asur, he also says Sidez Sidadin is Asur. And the one that says Sidadin is Mutar, Sidez is also Mutar. And then what Rabban wants to say, it is a Ma'lokin if Sidadin is Mutar or not. And whatever you're going to say by Sidadin, you'll say by Sidez Sidadin. He links the two together. No, we cannot accept that. Etive Rabbi Sharjah and Rabba. Rabbi Sharjah is the question to Rabba. Na'at Yated Be'ilan. Okay, here's the case. You put a peg in the tree. Okay, why are you putting a peg in the tree? Vitala ba kalkala. The guy needed the iruf. You know, maskid rubin soon. So, Erev Shabbat, he had to set up his iruf so he can walk. So, what did he do? He needs a basket of food. Where's he going to put it? So, he put a peg in a tree. He put the basket on the tree. He took his food in the basket. So, we're going to see the rule is the iruf is only kosher if you can access it on Shabbat. If you can't get to your iruf, it's not going to be kosher. So, this guy had a small idea. He put a peg in the tree. He took his kalkala, his basket, he stuck it on the peg, put his food in there. Only problem was, the ma'ala ma'asat wa ma'asana tefahim. He put it above 10 tefahim high. Because the basket is 4 tefahim. The fact that you put a 10 tefahim high now, it's 10 by 4, it's the Shuti Yahid. And therefore you cannot take it from the basket to the Shuti Yahid, because you're transferring from the Shuti Yahid to the Shuti Yahid. And as long as you can't get your Iruv on Shabbat, the Iruv is not functional. Fine. But if it's less than the tefahim on the tree, then the Iruv is an Iruv. Oh, so Gemara says, wait. Ta'amad dena'at yated be'ilam. The only reason why he's saying it's kasher is because you put the peg in the tree and the kalkala is on the peg which is on the tree. That's called sideh stadim. Ah, lo na'at. But if you didn't put a peg in the tree and you hung the kalkala on the tree itself, afilu lemata ma'asara tefahim in erubo eruv. Ah, then you see everybody's going to say no good at all because that's mamash sedadim. But what do you mean? This Tana of the Braita, the Ka'asar b'stadim, the Kashare b'sidestadim. You see clearly. This rabbi that we just read says it's Asur b'stadim, but if you did the Kalkala, it's Mutar. So you're wrong, Rabbi. You wanted to say that if you hold Stadin is Asur, sidestadin is Asur. Here you see, not like that. Here you see that if you put it on the tree itself is a problem, but if you put it with a Kalkala that's on the tree, it's okay. That's the Gemara's question. So Amar Papa, Papa says, "Hacha bekalkala dechuka askinan." Oh, we're talking about over here. It's a kalkala. It's a basket that its opening is very narrow, so it's very difficult to stick your hand in order to get it out. The ba'adet the shakil le'iruv. Since it's very narrow, we're worried that when you're going to stick your hand to take out the iruv, kamenid le la'ilan. What's going to happen? You're going to move the tree. But since you have to stick your hand in tight and you have to move it to get it out, the tree is going to become ishtamesh be'ilan gufeh. Ah, you're going to come to use the actual tree itself, and therefore you're using the tree itself, not only sideh ilan, which means the reason why you put a peg. When you put a peg, it's protruding a little, so we're not worried that when you take out the food, it's going to
move the tree.
To move the tree.
But it's a special basket.
Correct. And that special basket, it's still difficult to take out. But we're not worried when you put a peg, it's going to be a problem. But without a peg, not because Tadim is Asur. Just like Sidis Tadim is Asur, and Sidim should be, just like Sidim is Mutar, so to Sidim should be Mutar. Only problem in this case is, when you put it on the tree itself, since it's a narrow hole in the basket, we're worried that you might actually move the tree itself, which is a problem.
If it was a big basket, it would be no problem.
Exactly. That's where Rava will answer. The Gemara says, what is the bottom line? It says, "Velcheta sedadim asurim, sideh sedadim mutarim." Good. Sedadim itself is asur, but sideh sedadim is mutar. Amar Rav Asher, Ashtad Amar sedadim asurim. Now that you're telling me that sedadim is asurim, we can give a halakha case. Hai dargad demidela, the ladder that goes up to the sukkah, where the watchmen of the fields go up. So they build it. they build it a ladder. They lean the ladder against the tree, and he climbs up the ladder in order to go up to his hut in order to be shomer. Lo linche inish adikla. A person shouldn't lean the tree against, lean the ladder against the tree. Da'abu lehu sedadim. Yeah, that's tadim. Mamash, you're leaning something against the side of the tree. That's tadim. Ela linche agevazel lebar medikla. Which means, put a peg on the tree and lean the ladder against the peg. Once you lean the ladder against the peg, then what is it? It's tides tadim. Just to give you advice on how to get the ladder on the tree where it would be legal to go up on Yom Tov. The chisalik, and when you go up to the on the tree, on the ladder, lo linach kar'e agibazeh. Sure. Don't put your foot on the peg. Because then you're using the tree itself. You're using the sadim of the tree. Ela litnach akanim. Only use the rungs of the ladder itself. Because again, if you're going to put your foot on the rung that's coming out of the tree itself, you're using sedadim, and then it's going to be asur. Okay, so that's the sugya over there. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. This Mishnah over here is going to talk about preparing food for animals on Shabbat. So the Mishnah begins, Matiri Piki'e Amir. Piki'e Amir, bundles of straw that are tied up. So you can untie them on Shabbat. Lift the bema, so the bema can eat it. You can't eat it when they're in bundles. Umefasfesin et a kipin. Kipin, we'll see what it is. Also a type of animal food. The pespes, you're allowed to scatter them around the field. Not only untie them. Here you're allowed to even scatter them around in order that the animals should smell their smell. When they're tied up, they don't give it a smell, so that the animal doesn't have a desire to eat them. So when you untie it and you scatter them around, then the animal smells it, so it gives them an appetite. Aval lo et zirin. Okay, but you can't scatter zirin. Again, now, I don't know what any of these things are. I'm going to wait for the Gemara to tell me what these items are and why one case I can actually untie and scatter, and one case I can't even scatter. Ein minasekin lo ita shahat. Shahat is wheat that did not yet ripen yet, and that's what's given to animals. So it says ein minasekin. You cannot cut the shahat. Velo ita haruvin. Nor can you cut the carobs lefne behema in order to make it easier for him to eat. Men daka ben gasa. Whether it's a small animal or a big animal. It's not necessary. The rabbis don't want you to toil if it's not necessary. He can eat it like it is. You don't have to make it easier for him. They don't want you to toil on Shabbat for no reason. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'harubim l'daka. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, carob for a small animal, you can cut it up because he can't eat it without cutting it up. Okay, now we're going to go into the Gemara and see exactly the pirush of this Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna. And when that begins, first pirush of the Mishnah, enen piki'in, enen kipin. Piki'in and kipin are the same items. Bottom line, they're bundles of straw. So why is one called piki'in and one is called kipin? Piki'in today, kipin tilata. Only difference is piki'in have two knots on the bundle, and kipin have three knots on the bundle. The only difference between them is how you tie them up. One's tied up with two knots and one's tied up with three knots. The arze, what's the arze? That's the next thing. That is, or zidin, what is zidin? Arze. Zidin is the third item in the Mishnah. That's stalks of cedar wood that is moist. Okay, now that you got what they are, now we're going to explain what the Mishnah is. V'achi ka'amad, matilin pik'ei amir. You're allowed to untie the straw, lifnei behema, in front of the animal, umifaspesin. And not only that, you can scatter it around, so he says so you can smell it, and have an appetite. V'uadin l'kipin. Not only can you untie the item that has the two knots, but you could also untie the item called kipin that has three knots. And you can scatter it around the animal in order that you can smell it so it has an appetite. Abalo et azidin. However, when it comes to these pieces of cedar wood, you cannot. Lo pen le paspes velo latir. We're not going to allow you not to untie them and not to scatter them around. Now that you got the law of the Mishnah, now you have to understand the rationale of the Mishnah. What's the reason for Rav Huna? Katsava limitrach beuchla tarchina. To toil in something that's food already is mutar. Leshavuye uchla lo mashvina. But to make it food, we're not going to allow you. And therefore, when it comes to the first two cases, the straw that's tied up in bundles, it's food already. The animal can eat it. You're just making it easier for the animal to eat it by untying it and scattering it around, since it's food already. However, when it comes to the cedar woods, it's not food. So therefore, by you untying it and scattering it around, you're making it into food. Making something into food, we're not going to allow you to do one Shabbat. But if it's food already, you're just making it easier for the animal to eat.
Why didn't have food? Why didn't have to do it? All you have to do is scatter it. Once you scatter it, it's...
Right now, the way it is, but it's not edible. Normally, these pieces of wood are not for eating of the animals. They don't eat it like that. The shank, in the case of the straw, it's edible.
Even if
it's fine. Yeah, but it's not comfortable to eat it. Exactly, not comfortable to eat it that way. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, first white line, mitrach be'uchla b'davar shetchilato ochel, on something that starts off as food. Kodim tikun ze terhinan, then you can toil, u'makshinin liyapotla, and you can make them better. Okay, that's the first opinion. Very good. Look at a couple of lines before. Right before they get wide, I'm reading about lo azinin. When it comes to zinin, as she says, lo pespes v'lo latir. I'm not going to do anything with those cedar woods. Why? Because they don't stand for eating. Now you're making them edible. That remains to be asu. So that's the way Rav Huna understands. Something that's edible already can be toraya as much as you want. Mashiach to make it a food on Shabbat asu. Now we go to an alternate interpretation to our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amar. Rav Yehuda said, "Hen pikirin, hen zirin." He makes the synonym between pikirin and zirin, that both of them are the straw. And the same understanding. Pikirin tere. Zidin tlata. That one has two knots on the bundle, and one has three knots. Kipin de arze. And what is kipin? Kipin are these cedar woods. Now once you redefine the Mishnah like that, so the Mishnah means like this. V'aki kamar, matirin pikirin amin lifnei behema. He'll hold differently. He'll say you can untie these stalks in front of the animal because as long as they're tied up, they're unedible. And then you can make it food. He holds the exact opposite. You can make something food on Shabbat in order to allow the animal to eat it. Aval pespuse, no. But to scatter it around, no. Because that's tirhaf, you know, it's an extra tirhaf, it's an extra burden. Bekipin, pespuse name me pespesinan. However, when you have these cedar woods, you can even scatter them around. Why? Because without scattering them around, they're not edible. The animal won't eat them. And therefore, the scattering them around makes it edible for the animal. But zilin again, zilin and pikirin are synonyms. And therefore, we're not going to allow you to scatter it around, only to untie it. What's the rationale of this opinion? Exactly the opposite of the last rabbi. According to Rabba, the reason of Rav Yehuda is to make something edible is mutar. But once it's edible, we're not going to let you be toil. So you're wasting your effort. It's edible already. We're not going to let you be toraya on something that is not. Look at that she now. Look at that she, second line. Last word on the line. Haki kama matirin pikirei amir. Why are you allowed to untie these bundles? He holds as long as they're tied in bundles, the animal's not going to eat it. So you can untie it to make it eat, but once you untie it, you cannot scatter them around. Because you're pushing it. Now it's edible, so it's time to be torn out something. Fine, for tzad be'ema, we'll let you make the food on Shabbat. About bespoos, no. But to scatter them around, no. It's enough that we untie them. Exactly, that's extra, like you said. It's ta'anug. You're trying to spoil the animal now by scattering around. Too much. To toil in something that's edible, we're not going to allow you. However, when it comes to the cedar woods, we'll let you even scatter them around. Because until you scatter them around, the animal's not eating them. So what makes it food? The scattering. Fine. So those are basically the two ways of learning Am Mishnah. And basically the machloket between the two opinions is, are you allowed to make food on Shabbat? But not just toreah, or the opposite. Maybe you're not allowed to make food. One rabbi says you can make the food on Shabbat, you cannot be toreah once it's food. And one rabbi says, no, to make the food on Shabbat, we're not going to lie, but you can be toreah on something that is already food. So that's the problem. So now the Gemara says, Tanana, we're going to ask a question. En merasekin et ha-shachat. What is that talking about? Shachat is this unripened wheat, we said. So we said, En merasekin et ha-shachat. Ve'et ha-harubim. And the carrots, you shouldn't cut them up. Tefne behema, in front of an animal. Ben daka ben gasa. Now, I put shachat, this wheat, and carrots in the same sentence. Why would it juxtapose these two random items next to each other? Ah, my bad. I'll tell you why. Haruvin dumya de shachat. That it's comparing the haruvin to the shachat. Ma shachat de nechiche. Just like shachat is soft, meaning it's edible the way it is. Av haruvin de nechiche. So too, the haruvin were talking about soft ones. And therefore, it's considered food already. And what does it say in the statement? You can't cut them up. Alma lo tarchinan beuchla. That's a case of something that's edible already, and they're telling you, don't cut it up. That's against Rav Huna's interpretation. Because Rav Huna said, if it's edible already, you can play with it. He sees clearly you can't. Rav Huna will say, who told you that we're talking about soft carobs? Because you're comparing the carobs to the wheat. Do the other way. No, shachat dumya de haruvin. I'll say the wheat is compared to the carobs. Ma haruvin da akushe. Just like the carobs are talking about where they're dried up and hard. Av shachat de akushe. So too the shachat is also hard, and therefore it's unedible. Echi mashkala. Which animal can eat shachat? But it says be'ile zutre. Small donkeys. Which means that even the shahad is difficult for them to eat, and then we have to cut it up to make it edible. So therefore, he answered the case. It's unedible, and therefore, the cutting it up makes it edible. Is there an animal that can't eat shahad? Yes, small foals, they call them small. The animals cannot eat it. Okay, so we bring another question now. Tashema, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'harubin ledaka. Al-Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda was matir harubin. What's haruvin? Carobs. He allowed to cut up the carobs for the small animal. The daka'in. The gasalo. Now make a diuk. He's only letting you cut it up for the small animal, but he's not letting you cut it up for the big animal. Now, I amat bishtama. Now, the Yehuda is obviously reacting to something that Tanakama said. Because the Yehuda is saying, I am allowing it. Must be the Tanakama did not allow it. Now, I amat bishtama. Tanakaba samar mitrach beuchlan lo tarchinan shaber mashvinan. If you say that the Tanakama says that mitrach beuchlan lo tarchinan, once it's edible, I'm not letting you play with it, but I'll let you make it food. Hainu dekama Rabbi Yehuda. Now we understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Acharuvim ledakan nameh shavi uchlahu. That's why he's saying, listen, I agree with your principle, Rabbi. that to make something edible is mutar. I'm just saying that carobs are unedible. No, they're unedible. That's why I let you cut them for a small animal.
Meaning, okay.
Which means he's adding to what Tanakama said. Tanakama says to make food, I allow you. But once it's food already, you can't go for it. That's fine. I have no problem with that rule. I'm applying that rule, however, that I say that carobs, the animal itself cannot, a small animal, teeth are small, can't eat it. If I allow you to do it, makes sense to Mishnah. The flow of the Mishnah is good. But if you say that the Tanakama says no, to make food, I'm not allowing you, I only allow you to toil in something that's already, then what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda de Matir Baharubim de Daka. And what's the Mi'udah obviously saying? The Mi'udah said, no, I even allow you to make the food. So, why are you telling me, Daka, Kod Sheken, the Gasa? Why do you say, I only allow you to make the Harubin for a Daka that can't eat it? Kod Sheken, you allow you to make it for a Gasa that can eat it, which means, Tanakama, you want to tell me, according to the second version of your name, Tanakama is coming and saying, no, to make food, Asur. And the Bihuda is coming on to say, oh, but for Harubin, for a Daka is Mutar. Why? Because I own, you can even make the food. Okay, if you can make the food, so why is it only for a Daka? Kol Sheken, you'll be able to give it to a Gasa, because the Gasa can eat it the way it is.
Right.
So Gemara says, Nisavar Daka, Daka Mamash. Oh, that was your mistake. You thought when it said in the Mishnah the word, you can give it to a daka, you thought it was a small animal? No. My daka gasa. Oh boy. When it says daka, it means a behemah gasa. Oh, why would it call a gasa, a daka? Umay kari le la daka, de daika beukhla. Because it chews its food very good. Wow. So therefore, according to this, really, the Bi'uda is coming along to say that what? Since it chooses food good, therefore it's called a Behema Gatsa. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is coming along to say, Tanakama is really saying, I don't allow you to make food. But food that's already food, I let you play with it. Okay? And then the Bi'uda comes along and says, oh no, absolutely. Really, Tanakama is going to come along and say, to make food, I don't allow, but to prove good food already, I allow. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that you cannot, the Shavi Ukhla lo mashvina, but Matrahinim, so what's the Biudah saying? So, no, that's what the Biudah was saying. The Biudah was saying, I allow you to take the food, this Harubin, and cut them up and give them even to a Behema Gasa. Oh, so it didn't say Daka, even though it says Daka. Okay? Which is the Mishnah should have said the Bihuda Matir Begasa. And you know what the Gemara is answering? It does say that. Or Pam, Tanakama will tell you what, I don't let you make the food, I let you enhance the food.
Make it into gourmet.
Make it into batter. To tachat them as food already. And therefore, what is the Bihuda? The Bihuda is Matir Baharubin. The Bihuda is Matir Baharubin the Daka. So he's saying over here, why? Because the Harubin, because they're Ra'ui. The Harubim are Ra'ui for a Daka, even without cutting it up. So according to them, we don't understand why only be Matir for a Daka. You should be Matir even for a Gasa. Which means, cutting it up is only enhancing. So the Mishnah should have said to me, that's Matir for Gasa. He's saying, that's what he was saying. He's saying, I'm allowing it to enhance because it's enhancing it even for a Gasa. Look at that Shina. I amat bishlama. I'm reading this Rashi. This is the key Rashi. I amat bishlama. Shamar biyuda le Tanakama. He heard Tanakama. Da amar mitrach beochlin asur. Tanakama said you cannot toil with the food. Ve'er merasikim berachiche ka'amar. Amar shivuye ochla shan. You can't toil on something that's edible. On something that's edible, but to make it, it's okay. But shemuyeh ochla hashari. Haynu dekamal Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Rabbi Yehuda added and said, "Harubin de daka leta lemesar." That's why I'm going to allow you to cut the harubin for the דקה, תשגויה אוכלו, ואף אגב דרקיכי, אלא אי עמד כאן, זאת אומרת, תנקה מטרח באוכלה שערי, שם הוא אוכלה אסור, אבל you learn תנקה, מה זה to make food is אסור, ואין מרסקי דקאמר, בדקושה, and therefore he's coming to tell you that you can, if you have hard carrots, you can't cut them up, because by cutting them up, you're making them edible. כאמר, תשמי אוכלה, רבי יהודה מתיר בחרבים לדקה, בתביעה, what do you mean, he's מתיר for a דקה, הכל שכן לגסה, all the more so which should be permissible for a גסה, למטרח באוכלה ובשערי. הכי אבי למתי, it should have said in the משנה like this, ורבי יהודה מתיר בחרובים לגסה, דאבי למטרח באוכלה. If you're telling me that תרקם אז מתיר to toil in food, so therefore certainly to toil, to cut up these חרובים for the גסה should be permissible. ועליך לממר, so stop there for a second. So when I answer, you're right. He's talking about a gasa. Now when it says daka, it means gasa. That he's allowing you to toil for a gasa. Look at what it says. Ha, bedeketani resha. It's no good. Because it says in the resha, the Mishnah, ben daka, ben gasa. The Mishnah uses terms, gasa, daka. So gasa is gasa, and daka is daka. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda, daka mamash ka'amar. So means when the Yehuda said the word daka, he meant daka mamash. Kasha, therefore it's a question against Rabuna. Why? Because again, you Rabuna, you said it's only mutar to toil in food, but you cannot make food. And here the Yehuda is coming along and saying that what? That you can cut up the carobs. You can cut up the carobs to give it away. Daka. What do you mean? According to him, daka? Why only a daka? According to you, should be even to cut it up for a gasa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, right, how about diktani desha? Because the desha said, ben daka, ben gasa. And if he does reacting to something that Tanakama said, and then when he says you could cut it up for a daka, so it's going to be a question according to the main Avuna. Because again, Avuna is understanding the Mishnah. Mitrach be'uchla tarhinan. Let's go. Mitrach be'uchla, you can toil on something that's food already. But to make something into food is a problem. So the Gemara's question was, if you're going to say Tanakama is the way Rabuna understood, that shevuye uchla, to make a food, no good. However, mitrach be'uchla tarhinan, so why did the Biyudam matir b'charubin the daka? So you're telling me that the food is edible, so therefore, if you tell me the food is edible, so therefore what? He's letting you be cutting it up. So the chavra certainly should be permissible to do it for a gasa. So the way, why is the biyuda only being matir for a daka? He should be matir even for a gasa based on the way you understand it. Rabuna says, kasha.
The way that
Lashon
is using, that's where it's really...
If you're learning that Tanakama is only matiring, enhancing, and the biyuda is coming along and saying, I allow you to cut it up for the daka because it enhances. If it enhances for the small animal, certainly it's only enhancing for the big animal as well. So why did the Biyuda only matir b'daka? He should have been matir even b'gasa. He should have been matir even more. Which if you say that he's going with Tanakama,
right.
He's just explaining it more. Tanakama says, oh, I only allow you to toil in the food. Toil in the food? So the Biyuda says, okay, I allow you to toil in the haruvin to give it to a small animal. Well, obviously you hold the food already. So you're toiling in it. So if you're able to toil for a small, shouldn't you be able to toil for a big animal? No, when he said daka, he meant a big animal. No, come on, you can't say that. Because Tarakama used the word daka and gasa, and you only use the word daka. And therefore it is a question. The easier way to learn the Mishnah would be according to the other version. The other version was that Tarakama is allowing you to make food. Allowing you to make food on Shabbat. And the Biyuda is coming along to say, yes, and I'm matir harubin for a daka, because harubin for a daka is making it edible. For a gasa, it's edible already.
Right.
Therefore, I'm not going to let you touch it. But to make harubin for a daka, I'll allow you, because I hold that's making the food edible. Good, that I understand the mahlum, that makes sense. But the second version, no. One more point. Tashema. מחתכים את הדנועים לפני בהמה. Okay, you have dilurin. What's dilurin? Gourd, squash. You can cut the squash up, the dilurin, if the behema, in order to give it to the behema. Ve'etan nebela lefnak kilabim. And you have a nebela, an animal that died on Yom Tov, let's say, or on Shabbat. You can cut it up and feed it to the dogs. Or maybe you're going to say it's a tracha, shalol etzorich. Now, my love, dilurin dumyad de nevela. Now, again, two random items you put together. You put gourd and you put a nevela in the same paragraph. Ma nevela derekicha, just like stam nevela is soft, which means it's edible. Ab dilurin derekicha. Must be the gourd that we're talking about also is soft, meaning it's edible even before you cut it up. Alma tarhinan bukha, will let you cut it up. So that means we're letting you toil in something that's edible. Tiyuftad rabiuda. You, the way that you interpreted the Mishnah, you said you cannot toil in something that's edible already. But here you're seeing, you can. So he'll answer, Amar lecha Rabbi Yehuda, no, la, nevela dumya de dilu'in. Go the other way. I'll tell you that the nevela is similar to the dilu'in. Ma dilu'in da shunai, just like the stam dalua is hard. Af nevela da shunai, so to the nevela is hard. So therefore, by cutting it up, you're making it edible. How is it possible that you could have a nevela that hard? I have a hard nevela. It's a piece of meat. The besad pile. Yeah, it's elephant meat. Elephant meat is tough meat. Iname biguraita zutre. It's talking about over here small dogs. That for them, even soft meat is hard for them. Small dogs that their teeth are not yet they can't chew yet. So they have a bottom line. He'll tell you the case is talking about where it was unedible. The style of Gemara is you have two items in a Mishnah or the Braita. Gourd and meat. So he said, what's compared to what? So initially we say, well, the gourd is compared to the meat, just like the meat is soft. This is soft. And it's not that you cut it up. So you see, you could toil in something that's edible. No! The meat is like the gourd. Just like the gourd is hard, unedible, so too the meat is hard, unedible. And then what the hadush is that you're allowed to make it edible.
Make it edible.
Make it edible for the animal, the prepare. Oh, what do you mean? Is there such a thing as hard meat? Yeah, either elephant meat, or it's about where your dog is so young he cannot chew any meat, even any meat is considered hard for him. One more point. Tashema, detani ramchanan min ardea, mefarchinan teben ve'aspasta ume'arvin. What's teben and aspasta? This is cutting up the straw. The aspasta is the small pieces of grass that grow in the ground. You can cut them up. Umarmi, you mix it up. You make a mixture out of it. Now hold it. These things are edible without cutting them up. Alma tarhinan beukhla. Clearly you see over here you can be toreah in something that's edible already. Oh, that's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can only make something food, but you cannot toil in food. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, really these items were not edible. And the cutting made them edible. Now, teben b'tibna saria. We're talking about it spoiled a little. And then without cutting it up, the animal's not going to eat it. As pasta, de'ile zutre. With small donkeys that cannot chew. And therefore, unless you cut it up, you're not going to be eating it. So therefore, basically, what we did in this Gemara, it's a very simple structure of this Gemara. The structure of this Gemara is, there's two ways of learning the Mishnah. One version is to understand, like Rav Huna, that to be toiling in food, mutar, but to make food, no. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, which is the exact opposite. To make the food, it's okay, but to toil in something that's edible already, no good. And then the Gemara tries to bring questions on those opinions. It brings three different questions, and each respective rabbi was able to answer. Only the second question, the Gemara left it off in a Kasha. The Gemara said that in the second question, they don't know how Rabbi Yehuda is going to, Rav Huna is going to answer. But the other questions the Gemara answer. But that remains a machloket. The machloket is, how far on Shabbat are they going to allow me to prepare food for the animals? To make it food or only be madriya in the food? What is the halakha? What is the bottom line on this machloket over here? Do we have a bottom line? Do we have a bottom line? Do we see anything in the halakha? Yeah, if you open up Shulchan Aruch, bring us. We have a Mishnah Berurah right here. Who is it? You want to bring us a Gima? We have a Mishnah Berurah on the shelf right here. If you have it, it's Shin Chav Dalid Alacha Vav. Over there, you'll see maybe an indication of how we hold. It's really the only halakha. Vav and Zayin. You have it in front of you, boys? Yeah, we're just waiting for Mishnah Berurah. Lagima? Sharukh, that's good. But that's your idea, I think. For the Haim? Okay, that's it. Mishnah Berurah. Gima. Shincha Dalit. Shinchav Dalit Halakha Vav. I got it. Mehatechim Dilu'in Lefne Behema. So you're allowed to cut up the gourds in front of the animal. Okay, Mehushin et Leshum et Mos, only if you cut them from the ground the day before. We're not going to pull them out of the ground. That's obvious. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, Mehatechim Dilu'in Vedavke Keshem Kashim. Only when they are hard. She'enam de'uyim ne'echol belo chituch. That they're unedible. Avad Keshem Rakim. But if they're soft, Havi Bechlam Metrach Be'ochelim Ba'asur. Once it's edible, I'm not letting you play with it. So that's the way Mishnah is understanding Shulchan Aruch.
Edible to who?
To the animals we're talking. No one's eating the raw gourd.
It's more
animal. Oh, Ba'afilu Kashim. Lo yitachatechem dak. And even if they're hard, don't cut them don't grind them. Okay, that's a problem. Let's see the next one. Look at the next halakha. Mehatechim nevela lefne akelavim. You can cut up the nevela in front of the dogs. Oh, now wait. What type of nevela must be this talking about? Must be talking about a hard nevela.
If you want to go the same
logic. You want to go the same logic. So Maran says that. Ve'animidi benevela kasha. So we're talking about what's nevela kasha. She'efshar lehem le'okhla belo haticha. They won't be able to eat it. אבל אם הייתה ראויה להם ולא חתיכה, but if they can eat it without cutting it up, לא, זה מצרח במה שהוא ראוי לא תרחינם clearly, that to be toreya and something that's edible for the animals we do not do, so therefore he was posek, Maram was posek like Rav Huna, no, like Rav Huna, like Rav Huna, exactly. And by the way, you see now, if you go back to the Gemara and Amud Nishon, you'll see the halakha is brought right over there. My Ta'bad will be the first white line is the halakha over there. Gimal. Gimal is two Shulchan Aruch, Seif Dalet. Same Siman, Seif Dalet. Maran Beferush. Kashin Shel Shibonim. These stalks. Shikoshlim B'Shnayim U'Tushlam L'Koy. You tie them in two or three places. Mutala Tiran. You can untie them. Kedesh Shetokham Menah Behema. אבל אסור לשפשף בידיים כדי שעושים באוכלי בהמה כדי שהוא נוחם ואוכל ויקד, you know, make them into smaller pieces. תשיווי אוכל בדבר שאינו אוכל, מותר לעשות אוכל. To make it food so the animal can eat it, no problem. אבל מטרח באוכלה, but to toil in something that's food already, בדבר שהוא ראוי לאכילה, לא תרחין הבלק שלו, תקנו יותר. Look on the side of the באר הגולה, he says, שם בגמרא כרב יהודה. So clearly we have opinion of Maran on this sugya. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.